And we are in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, we do thank you so much for your word that brings life, that brings direction. Lord, that brings encouragement. Thank you so much for your word and for the testimony of Daniel and the men who stood in faith. Lord, thank you so much that you honor them and you'll honor us when we stand with you, O God. Lord, we do thank you so much for your spirit here with us to guide and lead us through the study of your word. And I pray that, Lord, you encourage us and strengthen us and challenge our hearts, O God. I pray that we may absorb everything that you have for us today, and Lord, may we shine your light for many to see and to honor you, our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel chapter 6, we'll finish the chapter. Here we see Daniel living out his life, and as a result, the king actually is the one who proclaims that many should worship the one living and true God. Daniel chapter 6, verse 25. And King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of any kingdom, rather my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lion. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You know, when we look at the results of the tests and the trials and the troubles that these men went through, we admire and actually want to be in the test ourselves. And think about just living out your faith. And maybe you're thinking, oh, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a bishop, I'm not a prophet. But think about going through such an experience, and your persecutors and the entire kingdom get to know about your faith and your God. Think about honoring God in your life, and the pagan king who actually was after your life is the one who makes such a declaration and proclamation. And the book of Daniel follows this particular pattern. God's people stand in faith. His children stand in faith. God honors and protects them. And what happens? The testimony of their faith, of their belief, of their stand, makes the ungodly not only to see the greatness of their God, but to proclaim it. So Daniel just survived lions. And what does the king write to the entire kingdom? I make a decree that in my kingdom, only Daniel's God should be proclaimed and worshipped. Can you imagine that? It starts off in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel and his four friends had a chance to enjoy a royal delicacy, a royal diet through their scholarship. But they said, you know what? This food is offered to idols. This food is almost a worship service to idols. We're not going to eat it. We only eat vegetables and drink water. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his kingdom, his realm. Now, all they needed to do was to say that we're not going to eat food offered to idols. We're not going to worship an idol. And they told Ashpenaz, test us, put us to test. If in 10 days we are healthier, then we're not going to eat that food offered to idols. And the test was made and they were healthier. And tell you what, their faith became known in the kingdom. They didn't have to even preach for themselves. They were just boys in captivity, so they didn't even have an audience. Nobody listened to them. Nobody could have actually listened to them anyway. Imagine these boys going into exile and they start preaching. People would be like, so these captives, in fact, throughout the book of Daniel, you know how he's referred to, that captive from Judah, that Daniel. Nobody would have listened to them, but they had a better way to preach and to proclaim God, just their life. We had a meeting recently about street preachers. The KCCA invited us pastors to discuss the fate of street preachers. All they do is make noise, and they shout, and they yell at people, and they inconvenience people, they inconvenience traffic. And we're wondering, isn't there a better way to preach? Right? Yes, there is the freedom of religious expression in this country. But should it be inconveniencing to others? And by the way, are they really effective at it? They only have like three sentences. Well, they have a Bible in their hand. They're not reading the Bible. So your question, are they really preaching or not? And then they only have like three sentences. You're going to die. You're going to go to hell. You need to come to the Lord. And then you go by. And then another bunch of people pack by. You're going to die. You're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. Right? Meanwhile, all the while their Bible is closed. Now think about just living out the truth that you know. Think about the number of people who observe you because you're a Christian. They're like, all right, you're a Christian. Let's see how you live. And tell you what, our testimony as a Christian is more than how loud we can shout. In fact, one historic Christian said that, preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. Obviously, words are necessary to preach and to declare our God. But you know how our God is most proclaimed? It's through how you live. These men from chapter 1, all they do is, we will not bow down to that pressure of eating food offered to idols. And that's how they preached. The results were obviously visible at the end of their study, of their scholarship, of their school. They got the best positions because not only did God honor their faith by preserving them through vegetables and water, God honored them by giving them wisdom and excellence. And they were positioned way higher than those who ate the food that was offered to idols. Again, in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He wants his wise men to interpret the dream, but before they interpret, they're supposed to tell the dream. So you tell me the dream and the interpretation, and if you fail, you're going to die. I'm going to kill you. Daniel and his friends pray. Boys, this challenge is upon us. Let's ask God for help here. And God enables Daniel to know and to interpret the dream, the king's dream. And what was the result? Daniel chapter 2, verses 46 to 47. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering, an incense, to him. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal the secret. They were in a trap. They knew their God. They knew what to do. All they needed was to ask God to help. They needed to pray. And they did pray. They gathered and said, God, please help us. If we do not get this right before the king, we are going to die. Well, if you want us to die, that's okay, we'll go to heaven. But if you want this to be revealed to the king, please let us know. And they departed, and God obviously answered their prayers. And as a result, Nebuchadnezzar saw God. Not only did they see the excellence of Daniel and his friends' faith, their belief in God, but he saw God himself. Did they have to stand on the streets of Babylon and shout and yell? Did they even have to go door to door to preach about their God? No. They didn't have an opportunity to do that. They didn't have a chance to do that. There was one opportunity, and that's the opportunity that all of us have. The opportunity of living out the truth that you know. You may never be as opportuned as some people. You may never be able to maybe stand here and preach, but there is an opportunity that all of us have to live out our faith. And tell you what, most of the time, if not all the time, our faith is revealed through trials, through difficulties. When everything is fine, not so much, but most people, this world is actually interested in our lives, especially when we are going through difficulties. How do we respond? Do we respond like them? Or our response is different? Does our faith make a difference in the way we deal with these trials, or it does not? The faith that these men have made a difference in the way they dealt with this. They prayed, and when God delivered the message to them, they were able to faithfully deliver it to the king. Another great example of living out your faith, and it's visible to even your bosses. And instead of you preaching to your boss actually preaches to the entire kingdom about your God. How would you like that? Let me tell you about the God of this person here who works for me, this Daniel, this captive from Judah. In Daniel chapter 3, so we've seen the pattern in chapter 1. He sticks to the truth. He is tried. He sticks to the truth. God honors him. In chapter 2, the same thing. There was a test. They stuck to their faith. They prayed to their God while the other magicians are looking for all those idols to give them information. Obviously, they are all useless. They know nothing. Only the one true God knows everything. Their faith is evident. They stick to their faith. God reveals the secret. They deliver it to the king. They are honored. They are made popular. In Daniel chapter 3, three of them, Mishael, Ananiah, and Azariah, were threatened with death through a fiery furnace if they did not bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had erected. What happens? They say to the king, you know what, king, we love you so much. We love our jobs too. We don't want to lose our jobs. But when it comes to worship, we only worship the one true God. We don't bow down to idols. And if you're asking us to bow down to idols, sorry, we will not do that. Our God will protect us. And even if it does not protect us, we will still not bow down. They said, you know what? We know what to do. We believe in the one true God who needs to be the only object of our worship, and he is the only one we worship. Everything else, we don't care, even if it means our death. What happens? God honors them. He protects them through the fire. The Babylonians were seeing that. They looked in the furnace. They were not only seeing three, they saw four. They saw God himself with his children. And what happens after they walk out of that furnace? Daniel 3, 28 to 30. Nebuchadnezzar spoke saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that anyone, any people, nation, language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut to pieces, and their houses shall be made an ashes, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Another great story there. All they had to do is say, no, we will not bow down to worship that image. Isn't that a good way to preach? We will not bow down. As a result, they are protected, and as a result, the king himself issues a statement, an executive order to all the kingdom about the God of Daniel. Now, truth is, we have a desire to make our God famous. Have you heard that statement? We need to make Jesus famous. We have to. There's a way to make Jesus famous. Just stand against darkness. The people will see the light and they will see the God you believe in. All we have to say is, you know what? To die or to live, we only worship the one true God. And look at what Nebuchadnezzar actually states. These guys have frustrated my mission. Right? They have frustrated the king's word and needed their bodies. That they should not serve an idol. Do you have some frustrating people in your life? These guys were the most frustrating people to Nebuchadnezzar's mission of promoting evil. And we have the same opportunity to frustrate the progression of evil in this world. All we have to do is live like God is our Father. You know that in this country, a lot profess Christianity. You go everywhere and people say, for us we are Christians. We have Christian names. We were baptized. We are Catholic or whatever it is. But the bigger question is, do they live it out? All right, you're a Christian. So you show me, is there evidence in the way that you live that you're a Christian? Give me the evidence. Show me. Who do you worship? And when you're pressured, when there's corruption around you, do you give into the corruption or not? In Daniel chapter 4, another story, another incredible story of the king, again, in his evil, coming down upon these men. God gives him a dream. He is pictured as this great tree that is fruitful, that is beautiful, that feeds everyone, birds and beasts and people. But a command is given from heaven that this tree should be cut down because of its prominence, it had become proud. And Daniel was faithful to deliver the word to the king that, you know what, king, you are so proud, you're going to be chopped down. The king did not listen. In fact, he was given 12 months to repent, one whole year. At the end of the 12 months, he had to be almost like an animal eating grass for 7 years until his time had elapsed. And what happens thereafter? Daniel chapter 4, 34 to 37. At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding turned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will, the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? Nebuchadnezzar himself had an experience with God. Daniel did not have to preach to him. Nobody had to preach to him. All they had to do is deliver the word that God had sent to him. You are that great tree, you are proud, and you're going to be cut down. You're coming against God himself, by the way. You are in trouble. And when he was stubborn, when they simply delivered this message to him, he was stubborn, he did not listen. He went through what he never wished he would go through. But at the end of it, what does he do? He preaches. He becomes a preacher from a pagan dictator to a proclaimer of the greatness of God. Again, stick to the truth. Trials will come. Maybe it will be a message that you have to take to some ruler or leader. All you have to do is be faithful to do that. And God does the rest. And each time, God honors his children all the time. Now, the opposite is taught today. Did you read at the end of chapter 6, the verse there, verse 28? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel prospered through every king on the throne, through everyone. Now, let me ask this. Is his prosperity just material? The mention of prosperity here in the life of Daniel, is it just he had this great amount of wealth and everything was fine with him? was Daniel healthy and wealthy and wise? And he had no problems in his life? No, that's not true. The prosperity the Bible is talking about here is the excellence of his faith. And that is real prosperity. His faith has been tested and proven pure. And all the other kings come and go, Daniel stays and serves the one true God. I want to prosper like Daniel. Try to avoid the reverse. It's not, okay, God, give me these things. Give me a position like Daniel. Give me an influence like Daniel's, and then I'll honor you. God, first bless me, then I'll bless you. That's the reverse of what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we should seek first the kingdom of God. First things first. There is a procedure to prosperity. Did you know that? There is. And the very first one is honor God. That's all. In fact, it's the only procedure to prosperity. All you have to do is one thing, honor God. He does the rest. He will add to you whatever he wants to add to you, whatever he wills that you should have. He will promote you. He will exalt you. He'll give you more influence. He will preach through you. If you're thinking, oh, me, I'm shy. I can't speak before so many people. I can't even share my faith with the person next to me. I'm not very good at it. How about just living out your faith when you're next to the person? The fifth time this happens, we saw this with Belshazzar. He is proud. He disrespects God. He's celebrating the reign of his kingdom with thousands of his lords, his MPs, his generals. He requests that God's cups and plates that were supposed to be used in the temple should be used for drinking wine. And while they were doing that, he sees part of a hand that writes on the wall. There's a message for him. You are in trouble. You've been numbered and numbered and weighed and found wanting, and your kingdom is scattered. They could not interpret the writing. They had to invite Daniel, and they refer to him, that captive from Judah. A very disrespectful term. They do not regard Daniel a prophet, right? Have you heard anybody referring to Daniel the prophet? No. They still know him as that captive from Judah. They disrespect him. They disrespect their God. But all the time they are at loss. And the point is plain. And in the sixth time this happens in chapter 6. So imagine this pattern is in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6. Lions this time. If he could not survive in chapter 1, maybe chapter 2 he'll die. They tried it. They tried to kill him in chapter 3. Them in chapter 3. In chapter 4, same thing. In chapter 5, in chapter 6, let's just throw him in the lion's den. But what happens? God sends angels. They shut up the mouth of the lions and they became like pets to Daniel. And what happens? King Darius preaches. I mean, look at the number of kings that are preaching the God of Daniel. Daniel never walks to them one day and says, you know what, king, you need to preach about my God. Does he do that? He does that, but through his conduct, his faith, his persistence. And then the Bible says he prospered. When we stand firm in our faith, regardless of how difficult it is, God will honor and reward us. That is for sure. And if you're out there, you really want to be honored and rewarded by the Lord, all you have to do is live like you believe in him. Others will see God in us and they will proclaim that God. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 15, Jesus said, you are the light, rather the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light up a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your God in heaven. And Jesus here states two positions that we have that come with responsibilities. You are salt, you are light. And he says it's not just enough to say, yeah, we are salt, we are light. What does salt do? It is used as a preservative. What does light do? It gives direction, illumination, understanding. You finally can find your way. If it was dark, you turn on the light, you finally can find your way. And he says to us, you are salt, so you have to be salty. Do you know that you're salty? When you sweat, you're salty, technically. You are salty, so just don't stand there like being salty is cool. You need to be used as a preservative upon this world. Now, we will see this when we study 1 and 2 Thessalonians. When Paul actually declares that the reason that evil is still suppressed in this world is because of the presence of the Holy Spirit among us. The reason that there is still some order, obviously there's a lot of chaos, but the reason there is some order in this world is because of you, because the Spirit of God lives in you. In fact, it teaches that when Christians are out of here, when we are raptured out of this place, all you see is what? Chaos. Chaos until God wipes out everything and creates a new heaven and new earth. So we have a preservation effect upon this world. We need to be preserving people for heaven. And if we lose our preserving effect, what happens? He says you are as good as being run over by people. Stepped on. Useless. I mean, how many of us just want to be useless? You wake up every day and you think to yourself, I just want to be useless. Who? All of us wake up and we want to be useful. We want to accomplish all that is set before us, whether it's work or school, whatever it is, an exam, you want to go see that exam and move on. You are light. You reveal the secrets of the kingdom of God. You reveal the one true and straight path to heaven. You're the only ones who have the light that makes people who are lost find their way to heaven. And you don't want to be lit and then be hidden under a basket. Do we ever wake up and all we want to be is a secret Christian shining our light under a basket? We don't want anybody to see that we are Christians. When we are reading our Bibles, we are hiding. When we're going to church, we never tell people we're going to church. No, I'm just going to town to meet a few people and we're going to discuss certain things. Do you say that? Maybe you did that for a while. But eventually you came out like, you know what? I'm actually a Christian. I just don't go to town to interact with some people every Sunday. I'm actually going to church. Two things you need to know about who you are. You are salt and you're light. And as salt, you are a preservative. You are preventing further corruption from eating away people. It's like you're a doctor and you have medicine and you're telling this person, you know what, you're sick, you need to take this medicine. And if you take this medicine, you will be fine. You're dying because of sin. And if you come to Jesus Christ, you will have life. A life is preserved. As light, you're giving guidance to those who cannot find their way, those who are lost. And there are a lot of people who are blind and lost, and they're looking for their way out. There are so many people who are deceived. They sit under false teachers and false teachings. They hardly know what the Bible says about anything. And Jesus says, you are those people who need to be showing people the way because you know that way. You know that truth, and you know that life. And Jesus never challenged us to become salt or to become light. What does he say? You are already salt, and you are already light. He simply said that we are, and we are either fulfilling or failing. And obviously, when you're fulfilling it, Do you know it? If you're failing, obviously you also know it. One Christian wrote that a key thought in both the picture of salt and light is distinction. Salt is needed because the world is rotting and decaying, and if our Christianity is also rotting and decaying, it won't be any good. And sadly, sometimes that's the case. You look at some in the faith and you're thinking, they look like they're really decaying. They're not helping the situation. They're actually joining in the rot. Light is needed because the world is in darkness. There is so much darkness in this world. Would you agree? And there are some people who love their darkness. The moment you turn on the light, they hate you. Just like Daniel and his friends. The moment you're living out your faith, you become a problem to them. And you're thinking, so what's the problem? All I'm doing is honoring my God. Do you have a problem with that? In the anti-corruption court, I think the figure is almost 1,000 now. Those who are being prosecuted under the anti-corruption law and others are under investigation. Now, laws are good. The law helps shape people. But you know, and I know, that the solution is not the law. Does the law affect righteousness? Does it? We have very great laws in this country, but do they help people live righteously? No. The solution is the gospel. The solution is knowing that, you know what, it's not just stealing, but you're going to one day face your Creator. Now, you know that some of these corrupt people steal so much money, right? And they're thinking, you know what, I've stolen billions of shillings. You can prosecute me, I don't care. You'll see them smiling in court and you're thinking, really? You should be weeping. And they stand there confidently and they're thinking, you know what? You take me to jail for 6 years. I'll come out a billionaire. I can steal and I've prosecuted and I am jailed. I'll serve my sentence. And after 6 years of serving my prison sentence, I still have my money. And now you know what the government is doing. They're trying to enact a law that says, you know what? You don't only go to jail as a punishment. We get back that money. But the law is not necessarily going to help with the corruption problem. Only a little bit. You know what needs to get out there? You are in trouble with the Lord. Just like Nebuchadnezzar heard from Daniel. You are proud. You are in trouble with God. You're not just in trouble with the law of the country. There is a higher law. And before this judge, you are guilty. You have no plea whatsoever. You can technically maneuver around our legal system. Right? And you know that it's very hard to prosecute these corrupt people. But they'll not survive God's judgment. And that's what they need to hear. You may dodge around the judgment of this world, but before God, you are guilty. And we are supposed to be that light. We're supposed to be that light that says, you know what? You still, you're in trouble with God. He sees. And there is one way out of it. It's repentance. Just ask Him to forgive you. And He will not only forgive you, He will change you. To be effective, we must seek to display our Christian distinctive of being salt and light. And the object of shining we see there is that so that men will see our good works, and then what do? They glorify our God in heaven. I mean, how many of us have that desire deep in our hearts? We want to see people glorify God. We want to go out and tell people about this great and awesome God of ours. Maybe you're thinking, I can't go on a mission trip, I'm busy, whatever it is. But tell you what, you leave it out, and that's a way to preach. Just leave it out. Let your light shine. Let your salt be effective before people. We have a chance to show off. You'll have to show off, do you? You have something new, and then you have to show it off. All of us are showy people, right? Do you agree? They're like, yeah. All of us love to show off something we have. Right? Have you ever seen an engaged ladies, they kind of start waving with their, everybody needs to see my ring. Hello, I'm engaged. We have a chance to show off our God through the way we live. And we have license to do that. It's the best way we can proclaim who He is. Just show who He is in the way you live. And others, the Bible says, others will see. They will. And what will they do? They will glorify Him. People will literally come to God because they've seen you live your faith in Him. Easy way to preach, isn't it? So if you're thinking, I never have a chance, I never have a microphone, I never go on a mission trip, I cannot stand on the streets to preach, I'll be arrested. You know what? We have an example here to follow. Just live out your faith. Pray. Praise. Persist. And then prosper, just like Daniel. And I pray this challenges us to walk well with the Lord. And the other benefit of walking well with the Lord, walking purely in faith in God, is that this faith gets to be passed on to the people who are very close to us. Maybe you're the very first Christian in your lineage as a family. All right? Maybe you have great examples of Christians ahead of you, your parents, your grandparents, maybe your great grandparents. Regardless of where you stand, one of the reasons you should live well, and we should live well as Christians and demonstrate our faith through our life, is that we are passing on this faith to our children. We're passing it on to our friends. And tell you what, do you want to pass on something that is full of cracks? Do you want to be examined and be proven completely a fraudulent Christian? We may not pass on anything. We may not pass on much wealth to them. We may not pass on whatever that we inherit on this earth or whatever we have on this earth. There's one thing that we can pass on and it's sure to last forever. It's our faith. Demonstrated in the way we live. Daniel lived, you may not even know the number of years ago. It may not even matter to you. But here we still find his faith, hundreds and thousands of years later. And our goal to reflect God is not just for benefit and for reward. Obviously, those things are there. God will reward us. But our motive is also to pass on faith in its purest form. That many may not read the Bible, but they will say, okay, let's look at our father's life. Let's go ask people who lived with him. How did he live like? Let's scrutinize his life. Let's go to his former workplace. Let's go and find out, how did he do there? And when they have faith, you have preached to them, haven't you? When your children have faith and they've seen your life, that's all you want. I mean, John will later on write that, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk by faith. If you never pass on anything to the people around you, maybe you have nothing to pass on anyway. We all have something to pass on. It's our faith. And what if somebody is taking a record of our lives, just like somebody was taking a record of Daniel's life, what would they find? Would they have to edit half the story? Or would they write it as it is? Yes, they had some mistakes. Yes, they had so many problems. Yes, they had so many trials. But they kept pursuing God. I would love that to be said of me. And I know that all of us would love that to be said of us. So let's take the challenge. Let's dare to be a Daniel. Amen? Let's proclaim God through the way we live. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we do thank you so much for the example that we have in Scripture. And these things we are written for instruction, for our admonition, for encouragement, Lord, for our strength. Lord, we want you to be known. We want to proclaim you, your majesty, your glory, your power, your wisdom. Lord, we want the whole world to know who you are. Lord, we have so many people around us that do not know you. And we want them to see you, that you're the only one true and powerful God. Lord, we have a chance to proclaim that through the way we live. Lord, I pray that as we see Daniel live, that we would live committed to the truths that we know. That, Lord, would endure persecutions and trials and troubles. And while going through them or while out of them, I would know that you will honor and reward us, O God. What amazing a gift it is to be honored by you. Lord, not only will we be honored by you, Lord, those who persecute us and those who examine our lives will actually get to know you and they will proclaim you. So Lord, we want to shine. We want to be salty. We want to preserve people for heaven. And we want to show your way to those who are lost and those who are blinded, oh God. And what a privilege to do that as your children. I pray that daily we'd wake up with one desire to proclaim you through the way we live. Lord, we fail, we are frail, we forget. But you never fail, you never forget. You'll always remind us, you'll always strengthen us, you'll always fill us, you'll always lead us. What an amazing God you are, God. So may we yield to your guidance, and so may your light shine through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.